The following presentation is not suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. On December 30th, 2013, most of the world was focused on wrapping up the holiday season. The new year was only 2 days away, and there were parties to prepare, champagne bottles to chill, and plans to make for 2014. But for Jason Varga, better known by his online alias Phantom Lord, December 30th brought yet another day of doing what made him famous across many online gaming circles and earned him huge chunks of money on both YouTube and the streaming platform Twitch. That Monday afternoon, he settled into his gaming chair, donned his bulky headphones, and began to live stream himself as he played games online. That day, Varga decided to play League of Legends, a PC game that exploded in popularity after its 2009 release by Riot Games. As he streamed his gameplay before hundreds of thousands of fans were watching live, something extremely unusual occurred. The League of Legends servers and its forum fell offline across the world. As the League of Legends blip unfolded on Varga's stream live before thousands of curious eyes, it became clear what was happening. A distributed denial of service attack, orchestrated by a hacking group that had taken the major game offline. A hacking group known as Derp Trolling immediately took credit for the hack. This group, a loose band of anonymous, skilled amateur hackers from around the world, specialized in DDoS attacks and were notorious for hacking game servers in the past, such as the popular first-person shooter game Quake Live. The Derp group would force these sites offline by pummeling the targeted site with an overwhelming number of requests that would block the site from responding to legitimate requests from other users. Now, these unknown hackers crouched behind faraway screens and set their thirst for chaos on League of Legends, and specifically, one user in particular. They wanted to interrupt the streaming of one of the gaming world's biggest names, Phantom Lord himself. As Varga encountered the League of Legends hack in real time as he streamed, he reacted in a rather unconventional way. Instead of reporting the hack, he began to communicate with the hackers. After all, the hack could boost the value of his stream. It offered a plot twist that would keep viewers watching and attract more attention to him in the gaming community. The Derp group was just a cluster of faceless hackers behind faraway screens. What could go wrong? Varga leaped on the opportunity. Rather than trying to shut down the hackers, he presented them with a challenge on his live stream as he prepared to play another game. This time, the game servers put in the line of fire for the Derp group's DDoS attacks would belong to the popular game of Dota 2. Varga made a deal with the hackers.
If my team wins, we'll keep going. But if my team starts to lose, Derp bros, take this shit down.
The battle was on. Varga and his team fought the Derp hackers on Dota 2, but ultimately, the Derp group came out on top. Shortly thereafter, the hackers held up their end of the deal. Like League of Legends, Dota 2 fell away from the online space at 9:12 that night. Already, the Derp group had brought down two major gaming networks in the span of a few hours, and now it had one of the largest gaming streamers wrapped around its fingers. Varga was having fun, enjoying his own role in the evening shenanigans and the excitement it was bringing to his channel. But the Derp group was far from done with the chaos it would wreak on the internet that evening. And soon, it wouldn't be only fun and games for Varga. Within the next couple of hours, he would learn that playing with hackers could become far more personal than he anticipated. On this episode, gaming chaos, police raids, and the face behind a notorious hacking group. I'm Keith Korneluk, and you're listening to a bonus episode of Modem Mischief. You're listening to Modem Mischief. In this series, we explore the darkest reaches of the internet. We'll take you into the minds of the world's most notorious hackers and the lives affected by them. We'll also show you places you won't find on Google and what goes on down there. This is the story of the Derp Hacking Group. On December 30th, 2013, as Phantom Lord went live on his streaming channels, another man more adept at computer skills, albeit more nefarious ones, settled into his own chair before a computer in Utah. Austin Thompson was only 19 years old, but he'd already established himself as a DDoS hacker under the online alias of Derp Trolling, a popular hacking account that amassed thousands of Twitter followers since 2011. Sporting a crude drawing of a toothy, smiled face as its Twitter profile picture, Derp Trolling had gained a reputation across the gaming world for its snarky, taunting Twitter personality since its genesis. The Derp group reveled in using their computer expertise to hack sites for no obvious reason other than causing chaos. The Derp hackers were hungry for attention, building their fan base by taking responsibility for the havoc they wreaked and by drumming up excitement around their hacks. They even encouraged their fans to participate in their mayhem-inducing efforts, boldly advertising their hacking services and a phone number on their Twitter page with a straightforward offer.
Call or text a request.
Fans of the group could anonymously call the number and leave a message with the name of a website that the caller wanted the Derp group to target with a DDoS attack. On December 27, 2013, the Friday before the infamous Phantom Lord hack, one Derp follower took the hackers up on their offer. A short message left on the Derp group's answering machine made their next mission clear as the anonymous voice on the other end who uttered two words.
Get Phantom Lord.
For an amateur hacking group like Derp Trolling that was eager to gain attention, Phantom Lord was an attractive target. In 2013, he was at the peak of gaming royalty, with a lucrative streaming career built through video gameplay and commentary. His Twitch channel boasted more than 350,000 followers, and he made hundreds of thousands of dollars each year from subscribers who paid to view his channel on Twitch and from YouTube advertising. 3 days later, the Derp group issued a sardonic warning on its social media page.
Something special planned for League of Legends.
Just a few hours later, the Derp group brought the League of Legends servers offline, followed by Dota 2. By the time Dota 2 fell offline, it was getting late. But for Varga and the Derp group, the night was still young. For Varga, having the hackers online with him was like having a celebrity cameo on a television show. His live views skyrocketed, and the number kept climbing higher. He had tens of thousands of people enjoying the show. As Varga bounced from game to game live on his stream, he brought the Derp hackers in tow, along with their online damage. Over the next few hours, the Derp group pulled down a series of other major gaming sites, including Battle.net and video game powerhouse Electronic Arts. Their trail of destruction even plowed through Disney's Club Penguin, which the Derp hackers convinced Varga to play during his night of gaming escapades. Varga took advantage of having the hackers online in his chat room and transformed his stream into a makeshift Q&A session of sorts, exchanging words with these hackers. Eventually, Varga asked them why they were taking down all of these sites. They provided a flimsy but straightforward answer.
For the lulz.
They followed their explanation with a few more silly justifications.
To spoil everyone's holiday. To make people spend time with their families.
They tried to inject a thread of legitimacy into their reasoning by taking an anti-corporate bend, saying they wanted to bring down the greedy gaming giants. The success of the amateur Derp hackers against major gaming corporations fanned the flames. As major company after major company fell offline at their command, the power went to the heads of Derp hackers. That's when they crossed a new line. And for Varga, his playful exchange with the hacker group turned dark in a way he never expected when he first hopped onto his stream that day. There was a knock at Varga's door in California. He just finished up his 8-hour live stream, and it was late. Who would be coming to his house at this hour? Clad in pajamas and tired from his gaming and streaming marathon, Varga opened the door to find someone delivering pizza at his doorstep. However, this was pizza he'd not ordered. It was courtesy of his new gaming buddies, the Derp Group. Suddenly, Varga felt uncomfortable. For most of the night, the back and forth between Varga and the Derp hackers had been harmless. At least for Phantom Lord himself. Not for the gaming companies who'd potentially lost a huge chunk of cash and undergone a significant hack of their online systems. He'd been conversing with the faceless competitors, cushioned by the comfort of the thought that neither he nor they knew where the other was in the world. But what Varga neglected to realize was that these were hackers with the skills to create software that had the ability to take down major websites. So of course, it wouldn't be much of a challenge for them to chase down his home address and begin to troll him in person. As Varga stood in front of his house, pizza in hand, the fact that the derp group knew where he lived knocked into him like a stream of cold water. This wasn't just a video game battle through the screen anymore. This was personal. Still, pizza orders were harmless enough, right? Only the derp group hadn't just ordered a pizza for Varga. Events at the Varga residence were about to crescendo out of control. As Varga stood in front of his house to retrieve the pizza, more cars were pulling onto the street. They weren't there for another pizza delivery, though. It was a collection of police cars, with multiple officers streaming out and onto his street. To make matters worse, they were visibly armed with large guns. They were responding to an urgent emergency call that reported there was a hostage situation unfolding at Varga's address. Of course, there wasn't. It was just another not-so-innocent prank from the derp group. But now, in the middle of the night, the situation at the Varga residence had become more uncomfortable. Now, it was dangerous.
"Just had an automatic pointed at me, put in handcuffs, and sat in the back of a cop car as I watched six policemen go through my whole house. We'll keep you updated."
Varga posted on Facebook to update his thousands of followers on the situation. The following day on New Year's Eve, an exhausted Varga began to stream for the first time since the cryptic Facebook message. He'd been awake for more than 24 hours, since before he started the initial stream the previous day, and the adrenaline was still pumping through his veins. He spent the next hour explaining what had unfolded the night before, from the unexpected pizza delivery to being asked to drop to his knees and put his hands on his head so he could be handcuffed as police officers searched his house for signs of hostages. Varga's stream was interrupted several times by more instances in which he had to step away to deal with the aftermath of the derp group's shenanigans. He left the stream once to pay for pizza he hadn't ordered, this time from Domino's. Pizzas had been delivered regularly to his house throughout the night and into the following day. The derp group had also released his home address to the public online, prompting others to play their own dirty tricks on Varga. Shortly after the interruption of the pizza delivery, Varga had to step away from his computer once more to speak to an officer responding to yet another call about a potential threat at the Varga residence. Though the incident was surreal for Varga and it caused him mental and emotional strain, he thanked his fans for their support and assured them on the live stream,
"I'm still quite shaken up as a little bit of an after effect. Nevertheless, I'm good. I am okay."
However, amid the flow of support from his fans, some blamed Varga for goading the hackers on the previous night. Some even went so far as to suggest that he had acted as an accomplice in the DDoS attacks because of his perpetuation of the hackers' actions and his willingness to play with them on his live stream. But Varga shrugged off the accusations. To him, his participation had been unavoidable. His purpose was to entertain the masses, and if he had to cope with an unexpected hacking situation live on camera, then so what? At least it was interesting. But the derp group had gone too far this time. And just as derp did to Varga, there were other hackers with the ability to release information about those who incited the chaos. On New Year's Eve, as Phantom Lord dealt with the aftermath of the derp group's actions both on and offline, the hackers were riding high from their triumph over Phantom Lord and various gaming sites the previous evening. Utah native Austin Thompson was especially proud of his work. In a sense, he was the derp group's golden ticket, an anarchical leader in the Phantom Lord operation and beyond. Thompson wrote the software used in the derp hackers' large-scale DDoS attacks, designing it to use a botnet, or a network of linked computer programs, to channel a large amount of traffic to the target network and overwhelm its sites. However, not everyone online was impressed with the gimmick. On December 31st, the next bombshell dropped. This time it wasn't Varga's personal information released and circulating online. Now, Thompson's own identity and personal details were plastered across the online world. Worse for Thompson, he was outed by an anonymous source as the leader of the derp group and the mastermind behind the Phantom Lord attacks the previous night. For Thompson, the worst had happened. The cloak of anonymity that provided him with comfort in the online realm had been yanked away. In an odd twist of events, the hacker himself had become the target. Thompson reacted quickly to this shift in attention. Days after the attack, he pulled his Facebook and Twitter profiles offline and disconnected his parents' home phone number, presumably to deter a storm of comments and calls to seek him out. In the online sphere, Thompson was nowhere to be found. He had gone dark. Thompson had good reason for disappearing from the internet. Even though the Derp Group had taken down the websites on December 30th in the simple name of fun, they'd crossed the lines, including legal ones. Orchestrating and carrying out a large-scale hack like this is a federal offense, punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. But now that Thompson's information had been leaked, it was not difficult for the authorities to follow his trail and track him down. In early 2014, Thompson was arrested for his central role in the hacking scheme. For the next 4 years, little's known about his whereabouts. He wasn't in prison, but he wasn't active in the Derp Group either. So where had he gone? In November 2018, Thompson finally popped up again to face the charges of his crime. He pleaded guilty to charges of hacking and was sentenced to 27 months in federal prison. He was also ordered to pay a $95,000 in restitution to Daybreak Games, which was formerly Sony Online Entertainment, for the damage he caused during the DDoS attack. On August 27, 2019, Thompson turned himself in to begin his scheduled prison sentence. However, Thompson had left a strong legacy in the hacking world after the 2013 Phantom Lord attacks, serving as a role model for groups similar to Derp, and encouraging other hackers to start groups and orchestrate their own attacks. Even after Thomas became inactive online, his influence remained strong. He'd started a trend for DDoS hacking, and other hackers followed suit. In the years following the 2013 holiday hack by the Derp Group, DDoS attacks exploded in popularity. Other amateur groups, inspired by Thompson and his gang of hackers, took up the trend. Emerging hacker group Lizard Squad launched its own series of DDoS attacks during the holidays of 2014, pulling down the Xbox and PlayStation networks. And if you'd like to learn more about the Lizard Squad, we did a special holiday bonus episode about them that you can listen to. A group known as Phantom Squad kept their tradition alive following the Christmas holiday in 2015. RIU Star Patrol carried out their own attacks in 2016. And in 2017, several hackers, acting alone, took down some sites around the holidays. In response to this uptick in attacks, the FBI cracked down on hackers and began to further regulate DDoS attacks and DDoS for hire services. In December of 2018, the FBI, with other international agencies, shut down the domains of 15 DDoS for hire services to try to avoid yet another hacking entanglement during the holiday season. Their efforts paid off. The Christmas season of 2018 broke the trend as gaming companies survived the holiday season hack-free. Companies designed to protect websites from malicious DDoS attacks also came on the scene as DDoS attacks were becoming more frequent. These companies aimed to differentiate between legitimate network traffic and malware that could trigger an attack. These efforts, combined with FBI crackdowns, have made DDoS hacking more difficult and more risky. As for the Derp hackers, the group appears to have disbanded shortly after Thompson's arrest. Although they still have thousands of followers on Twitter, their social media page now features only an ancient archive of snarky, rebellious comments from the glory days of their anti-corporate DDoS hacking run. It seems fun while it lasted, at least until their leader was caught. Still though, the other Derp hackers, who remain anonymous to this day, have no guilt about their actions. One anonymous hacker in an interview in 2014 made it clear that he'd not learned his lesson, saying,
"We don't regret everything. I hope to take down the NSA someday."
I'm Keith Korneluk, and you're listening to a bonus episode of Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening to this special bonus episode of Modem Mischief. If you're hearing this show, that means you support us on Patreon or on Apple Podcasts, and we're grateful as all hell for you. Your continued support keeps this show in production and producing these bonus episodes. Modem Mischief is brought to you by Mad Dragon Productions and is created, produced, and hosted by me, Keith Korneluk. This episode is written and researched by Emily McGinn, mixed and mastered and edited by Greg Bernard. The theme song You Are Digital is composed by Computer Bandit. Sources for this episode are available on our website at modemmischief.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Modem Mischief and slide into our DMs. Thanks for listening.